All right, Marty Lurie here, KNBR 680, with Javier Lopez, and that is the philosopher. Well, I can't believe it. You know, we're going through this season every couple of weeks having you on, and things change all the time. And you come off a road trip, not a good road trip. However, you win a few games, and the mosaic says, let's see what happens next.
Yeah, you're right. Obviously, the road trip, we left a couple games out there that we could have had, and it could have been a totally different feel for us, and we could be tied, and you know, we could do all these things, and we didn't do them, and you know, it's fine. I think obviously you do have to look at the fact that we have a lot of ball games left, and you know, we're getting Leak back pretty soon here, so we're getting healthy. Hopefully, we're getting healthy at the right time. I know we've touched on this already, and guys have gotten banged up since then, but you know, I think that's where it starts for us. Is that starting pitching coming around, and you know, we're starting to get some guys hopefully get deeper into a ball game. I know Bumgarner just threw a complete game for us, did his part, and hopefully that feeds through the rest of the next four guys.
You know, you get to this point of the year, and you and I talked a lot about July 31st and the feelings around it, but the waiver period now is on, where you know, you can move people if they've cleared waivers. It seems like it never ends from now until the end of the season, the speculation.
Yeah, I think that's part of the beauty of baseball, I think, is now when you add that extra wild card club, even though it's only going to be a one-game playoff, a lot more teams are in it, and there's a lot of teams that have missed out on the playoffs for quite some time, and they're making those moves, Blue Jays being one of them. You know, Cubs have been out for a while. Teams that haven't had the taste of it are getting their dipping their toe in the water here, so to speak, and they're trying to get some of the pieces that might help them get over the top. And, you know, I think it's always going to be rumor mill the whole month, and the jockeying for positions and blocking guys and all that stuff that's part of the front office, that the games that they play.
You doing any scoreboard watching? Do you watch now?
I've always watched. I'm one of those guys that, you know, is concerned about what other clubs are doing and who's hot, regardless of it's anybody in our division. You just want to know who's hot. I think everybody's watching for sure now. I mean, it's, and we've discussed this before, it's winning ball games. I don't care if it's 11-10 or 12-10 or whatever you want. You just want W's. And, you know, when we do it, you want to see the team down south lose. And, you know, last night it worked out for us, and hopefully it continues to do that.
Yeah. Boy, you're right. You want to see W's. I said that the other day, and someone said, "You mean doubles?" No, I said W's is what. That's what you want to see. You want to get wins this time of year. We chatted a little bit about trades, and you know, you see the pitchers move, and talk about David Price, who is a major addition for Toronto. You see some hitters move, Cespedes being one. You see Scott Kazmir go, another one who's made a difference. You don't see many relievers go, and you know, you think about it. In 2 months, a reliever could, heck, be in 25 games in 2 months. I'm thinking about Papelbon for the Nationals. Relievers don't move as much. I wonder why.
That's a good question. I think, you know, you got to look at the fact that relievers, with the teams that are in these races, that guys don't exactly want to give up on other pieces. You know, obviously, when I got traded over here, the situation was a little bit different in Pittsburgh than it is in 2015. 2010, everybody that was over 30 years old got traded, and that's kind of how it worked, and they stayed young, and they benefited from that. But, you know, I think when you get into that spot, everybody will tell you that a reliever is a volatile stock, then you don't want to have too much invested in that, and I think that's probably why teams shy away from that. You still, ultimately, starting pitching rules, it will always rule in this game, and that's why they make the big bucks. If you can get one guy to start once every 5 days, he's going to eat up 7, 8, 9 innings for you, and he's going to shut down the opposition and give you a W, then that's where you're going to focus your attention. But, you know, every club is always looking for some pieces in the bullpen, and I think we're one of those as well. If something came in that we couldn't pass up, that would be something that you'd look at. But, you know, like you said, relievers, it's a tough thing to have to sacrifice on if there's somebody you can build off of.
All right. The music begins. That's part of baseball today. Welcome to the organ music. Don't they do that anymore? I kind of liked it. All right. Javi Lopez with us. Going into Chicago, I know you and I chatted about just being in the bullpen down there, but you've been in there. You got lost all four games. Faced Kyle Schwarber, who, believe it or not, I couldn't believe got a hit off you. How did that happen? But what do you think of the Cubs and what do you think of Wrigley? Certainly the atmosphere was something else.
Well, it's nice to see Wrigley packed. I mean, it's a great ballpark. It's a great baseball town, and they've suffered for a while with the product on the field, and now they got a team, and it's revitalized Wrigleyville, and the town's excited about it, and it's nice to play in front of 40,000 there. And yeah, it's a good young club. They obviously can pitch a little bit. They got some leadership with John Lester this offseason, and you know they got a lot of young bats. They don't have many veteran bats, but you know that's kind of how baseball's trending. You know, the Pirates are a great example of that as well, where it's a lot of young guys doing the things that they need to do to win. And you know, that division in itself, the NL Central, is a really good division. And you know, we saw the best of the Cubs, I think. And again, I didn't feel like we were blown out in any of those games, but you know, if your starting pitching doesn't set the tone early, especially against a club like that, it can get ugly, and it did on us.
Yeah, boy, Javier Lopez with it. And you are the philosopher, so let's get into a little philosophy. It is the middle of August, about 6 weeks to go, say 6-7 weeks to go. You like to see those veteran pitchers. You like to see guys who have been there before. How do you feel about that? I mean, I always say it. Well, it's that time of year. Guys who have been there before, they understand it. What does that really mean?
Well, again, I'd like to touch on this with whatever the interview that I have an opportunity to give. And I say it's all about the slow heartbeats. And I think every inning, every situation is going to have its natural anxieties and tension that is already mounted in that, whatever it might be. And the guys that can step back, take a deep breath, and just control that heartbeat. When your heart starts racing, you're not thinking rationally a lot of times. You're kind of just picking up and going. And that's, I'm speaking as a pitcher. Sure. You know, you're not thinking through an at-bat. You're just trying to just throw whatever the catcher puts down. And sometimes you don't have a feel for that pitch, and then you just see it, and they're like, all right, I'm going to throw it. And it has its benefits at times. You know, sometimes, you know, analysis by paralysis kind of thing, it's not always a good thing. But when you get in this situation, every out is so important, every run is so important, every inning is so important, that you just want those slower heartbeats. And I think that's what veterans kind of bring. You know, it might not be the electric stuff that you might see from some other guys, but it's pitch execution. And as a hitter, it's the same kind of guy that you're like, you look at the stats and you're not wowed by anything. Might be a 250 pedestrian kind of hitter, but when it comes down to it, it's a grinded at bat, and a guy that can move a guy over, a guy can, you know, put wood on the ball and do the little things that's going to put a runner at third base with less than two outs. That's the ultimate goal every time, and try to score from there.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You read about baseball and you look at the heroes of this time of year, and I think the game has changed. We're now middle of August. This is when the spawning happens of those great pennant races and teams that come around. And for you, I mean, you go all out to get Anthony Rizzo, and then I'll just say, for an example, Miguel Montero is going to hit you. You know, the little people you don't think about, all of a sudden, they don't have the pressure. The big guys do, and those are the ones you got to watch out for.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think we benefited from that in the past couple years. You know, we made a move to get Hunter Pence in 2012, and I think everybody's obviously excited about it, and it's paid its dividends. But a bigger move and a more, you know, quiet under the radar move is Marco Scudero, and look what he did for us. And he came over here and decided to hit 330, I think it was, for that month and a half or 2 months. And you know, the guy played great defense, and he was a leader in the clubhouse. And you know, that's the kind of guy that you want. You know, a team that you know, he doesn't do anything that wows you every single day, but he doesn't need to. He's going to be that guy that comes up with how'd that guy get a hit? Next thing you know, we're hitting a double off of the hard throwing righty down the right field line, and you're like, this is the guy that's not supposed to beat you, and he ended up winning a lot of ball games for us. And you know, that's the beauty of this game. It's always a new person stepping up. It's not always the guys that you expect.
No, those are the ones you have to watch out for. All right, how do you feel? How do you stay in condition this time of year? You're running a lot. You're throwing a lot. Are you just trying to get enough sleep? Well, what are you doing?
I think it's a combination of all those things. Obviously, as you get older, you try to get a little bit wiser. I don't know if that's always right, but you rest when you can. You rest as much as you can, but you do. You know the nature of the game now is, and it's not such a bad thing. It's actually eating healthy, eating smart, not eating too late, not eating junk food, staying away from sugars, staying away from the alcohol a lot. All those things that can beat your body down. you know, because you don't have that time. You don't have that luxury. We play every single night. You want to make sure you're ready to go. You want to make sure you're ready to perform. And, you know, the running has been pretty consistent, I think, for all the bullpen guys. The starters have their routines. They go for long runs after the day after to get out some of that lactic acid and stuff. But, you know, the throwing programs, you kind of cut down as a reliever, depending on your appearances. If you've had a lot of games pitched or back-to-back games or something like that, you might just stretch it out just a little bit. Rather than staying out there and throwing for 10, 15 minutes, it might be 5 to 8 minutes. But you have to monitor that, and that's something that you just grow into. And, you know, that's how you figure out your throwing partner. Some of the young guns will sit there and throw with each other, and they'll throw for a long time. And, you know, bless their heart, they're able to do that. But, you know, I monitor how much I'm throwing because I don't want to waste it at 5 o'clock. I need it at 9 or 8:30 or something like that.
And that's August baseball. No, you said it very well. You lift weights at all?
Yeah, definitely. I think everybody in this game has to lift weights at some point. At the very least, for a pitcher, you need to have legs and stomach muscles. You got to get the abs rolling for you. You got to get that core, and your shoulder strength has to be there. You know, you only get you can fix elbows, but shoulders, if you mess those up, those are tough. So, you know, I think everybody, they'll tell you, they stay on top of those. And again, some guys are big bulls in the weight room, and they throw some weight around, and other guys just kind of finesse through some movements and stay flexible. And I try to find a happy balance between the two.
How do you like this? I mean, come on, you're back in it again. You guys are fighting for a wild card, the Dodgers. And here we are again, another season of Giants baseball. I mean, I know we sort of expect it, but you get to this point of the year, and it just means something.
That's why we play the game. You know, I've been on clubs where I'm making off-season plans right now, and it's nice to not have to do that here, and it's nice that it's expected here. I think that's one thing that you always want. You don't want it to be a new, novel idea. You want it to be expected, and I think that's what we do here. And I think, you know, obviously it hasn't been clean all the time. We do like to torture here. It's not something that the players try to do on purpose, but it's kind of how it shakes out sometimes. But, you know, it's the meaningful games in September are a big deal. I've been on the other end where you try to be the spoiler, and spoilers have its place, and it's fun, you know, but day in and day out, you'd rather be a team that's going to fight for something that's going to get you hopefully into some postseason play.
Yeah, it's human nature. Well, next time you and I are going to talk, it's going to be the end of the month. Cubs are going to be in here, and with the Dodgers on the horizon and all that, so Pirates are going to, that's it, you go to Pittsburgh, but we got the Cardinals in here. This is going to be an interesting month, so I appreciate it. All right, any questions for me? Go ahead. All right, go ahead. I'm going to give Javi a chance. Go ahead.
Marty, we recently had a game with the Astros that was telecast on MLB Network, and they had the pundits there with Sabermetrics. And we all know Sabermetrics is here, and it's going to be here for quite some time, and it makes a lot of sense. Obviously, there's a lot of strength in numbers. And I'm just wondering your take as a fan and a guy that's been around this game for so long. Do you feel that, you know, we'll put Brian Kenny on the stand on this one. If you had some questions to ask the guy, he pounds the table, pounds his fist about sabermetrics and numbers this and war that and BABIP, and he doesn't touch on the human element and the human emotion of the game. Do you feel like there's a disconnect in that thought, or is it something that, you know, the great front offices can balance that?
Yeah, I think it's information. But I thought about this because I saw that promo for the Astro game, that afternoon game. They were going to do that. Rob Nyer was there as well. And I said, you know what the numbers are for? The numbers are for the mass of people who don't really follow the game as much as someone like myself does or some of the hardcore fans. Because it gives you something to chew on. You don't have to tell me that how a pitcher's getting hit. I can watch it. Or balls put in play. I can see it. So their big thing on Wednesday was, well, if a save comes in the sixth inning, that's when you got to put in Javi Lopez. Well, we know you're coming in. I know that. And if the save is in the eighth inning, put your best closer in the eighth inning. They like that. More of a leverage situation as opposed to waiting to the ninth. So it's not revolutionary stuff, but it's stuff that I know and most of the fans know, but it gives a chance to talk about a new aspect of the game to help explain the game to you. So I find it interesting. I don't have a problem with it. I'll ask you this, and we'll go back and forth just a little bit here. What do you think about the automatic or computerized strike zone that people are talking about. Now, you're a guy who works low in the strike zone. I don't know if you get the calls all the time or not, but boy, seems like a lot of belly aching and turning around and throwing arms up with the umpires. How do you feel about that? Would you like to have an automatic strike zone?
I think I enjoy the human element. I think that's where I'm always going to, maybe I'm behind on the curve on this one, but I enjoy the human element. I like it that a guy is making a decision whether it's a ball and strike. And I think, you know, the part of the belly aching from the opposing managers or the hitter or even myself on the mound, if I feel like I should get a call, I think that's part of the theatrics. We're here, this is a play. You know, we're here to entertain. And if people get excited about that, then that's what we're here to do. I mean, whether it's some sort of showmanship, I mean, that's, you know, you got to check that at the door sometimes. But to be frustrated with other guys, that's what you want. That's why we play this game. I don't know if a computer is going to allow us to do that and vent in the way we want to.
No, you're right. We live in a world of accuracy, where if we can make something accurate, we want to do it. So for baseball, they made everything possible, reviewable, except the one spot that could be the most important. So it's going to be interesting to see how it turns out.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, obviously, again, the umpires are under a lot of scrutiny now, and even the players. You know, when you steal a base and, you know, you're saying challenge, 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 and you're clearly out, I mean, there's so many checks and balances now that you have to pay attention to. And, you know, I'm more of a purist in that regard. I do like the human element and the human error. But, you know, I do understand when we have information at the touch of our fingers that maybe we need to take advantage of that. So maybe there'll be a happy balance.
Yeah, we'll see. I hope not. But I don't know. For me, I'm getting persuaded that you should at least get the call correct. If you're going to do it at every base, why not do it at home plate as well? And look, I think it would benefit you guys, the pitchers. I think it would benefit you because you'd be getting probably a better strike zone.
Well, I would say I'm too late in my career, but I think if there was a pitch where I could control that, I know I could nick that top corner of the zone that a hitter's not going to want to swing at, and if you're able to perfect it, Mariano Rivera kind of cutter that you can paint with, I mean, it does, you're right, I mean, it does play to a pitcher's strength in that regard, but you know, like I said, I think I'm my time in this game is running short, and I'll be more of a fan, and I'll be able to watch it from the seats.
All right. Appreciate being on with you. Nice commercial, by the way, on CSN Bay Area. I like the FBI commercial. But next time we'll talk, 2 more weeks will be down, and we'll have a lot more to talk about. Javi, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks again, Marty. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, as always. Really enjoyed. Javier Lopez, the philosopher, KMBR 680, the sports leader.